I now invite Very Reverend Dr. Harry Allen, who went into the ministry of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland from this congregation, to come now and bring a tribute to Dr. Craig.
Can I say what an encouragement it is today to see so many people here on this particular occasion? I count it a great honour and a privilege to be asked to pay a tribute to our late brother and colleague and friend, Very Reverend Dr. William McGee Keg, past moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, former minister of Ebrington Congregation in Londonderry, and minister emeritus of First Portadown, or as we so often called it, Edenderry. I would wish, on behalf of Florence, my wife and myself, to extend our prayerful sympathies to Brian and the whole family today, and to assure them that their sadness and their loss is multiplied in many places by those who have known and loved our late brother. I'm sure my colleagues would agree that we often have two challenges when we are involved in a funeral service. Preparing for it, the first challenge is to find something to say about the deceased, which isn't always easy. The second challenge is to know how much to leave out, because, like today, there is so much that we could say that we could spend a few hours in his presence. As we think today of one who packed so much into his almost 99 years of service and fruitful ministry, the question would be, where do we start? And the answer probably is at the beginning. Samuel Craig from Ballygan married Miss Margaret McGee from Carrickmannan. There was great happiness that greeted the birth of their son William. But when the child was just 6 weeks old, Samuel was fatally injured in a fall from a ladder. Margaret and the baby William moved back to the farm at Carrickmannan, where her brother Hugh George and two sisters helped her to rear William. It was a godly home, and the influence there and the influence of faithful Sabbath school teachers impacted his young life. He grew up, went to school like most other boys, and then came the time when he was thinking of further education. He was a gifted student with lots of promise, and while he was a classics student at Queen's University in Belfast, he committed his life to Christ. He went on to finish his degrees of BA and MA, which were to be a preparation for a teaching lifetime. But when that happened, he moved to Assemblies College Belfast to study for the Presbyterian ministry, and while there he gained his BD degree. William gained experience and reputation again and again. Someone described him as a born preacher and as a born again one. There's no doubt where he stood theologically, because he was a non-worried conservative evangelical whose greatest desire and supreme interest was to lead people to faith in Christ and to encourage them then to walk in the Lord. When he finished his studies, he was licensed in Cumber, County Down, and served his assistantship with Dr. William Corky in Windsor Congregation, Belfast. He moved to his first charge. On the 22nd of March 1945, he was ordained and installed in Ebrington Congregation, Londonderry, where he served for 3 years with great impact both on the congregation and on the community. He married Miss Maud McCrory in Newton Ards on the 1st of May 1946, and together they were a great team in the work of the kingdom. When the Reverend Gordon Young accepted a call from Adelaide Road Church in Dublin, First Portadown were faced with the task of searching for his successor. And having heard from various sources about the young minister in Ebrington, they decided to look him out. They sent a hearing committee to hear and assess him. And their journey was on a very cold and snowy 8th of January morning in 1948. They tried to get in as quietly and as unseen as possible into the church, but one senior elder in Ebrington sussed them out. And as they were leaving the church, he said, "You'll not get better. You'll not get him. So don't bother yourself anymore." That was the impact he was making in those early days. But when they went for lunch and conversed together, they found themselves totally unanimous and most impressed with this young man. And they decided there and then that they would send some of their number back to interview Mr. Craig to see if he would accept a call, which they were prepared to offer to him there and then. They headed home through the snow, arriving back about 11:15 p.m. that evening, very tired, but very hopeful. The call was accepted, but the arrival of their first child, Olive, slowed the move a bit, and the family eventually moved in March, with the Reverend Craig being installed on the 18th of March, 1948. To commence a very fruitful ministry, one which lasted almost 36 years, years that were full of blessing for so many people. We might ask the question, what kind of man was William Craig? I think, first of all, he was a preacher and a teacher par excellence. Those of you who will remember his preaching ministry or his teaching ministry will echo that sentiment without any hesitation. As well as his ministry here in First Portadown, he was involved in so many other outlets in sharing the gospel. Places and involvements like Port Stewart Convention and Keswick Convention, Boys Brigade, Christian Endeavour, Child Evangelism Fellowship, missions here, there and yonder, large events and smaller ones. Coming from Garba as I do now, I can well remember the annual January meeting that he paid to the mission hall through his friendship with the late Dr. T.B.F. Thompson. I remember the first time that I saw Dr. Craig. He was walking down from the manse to the church one Sunday morning, wearing his frock suit, his top hat, carrying a rolled umbrella and his Bible, and I was very impressed. This was a special person. However, when we met, when I joined First Portadown in May 1950, I had been brought up in Sego Parish Church, and because I had an uncle who was a minister, everybody said I would follow him. But I didn't agree with the Lord that I should go to the ministry. But getting to know Dr. Craig made all the difference to my life. He enabled me to suss out the way forward and to find exactly what I should do in response to the Lord. I began my studies, and he remained my close friend and mentor over the years, always full of encouragement and always there when I needed him. He was a preacher. He could reach all age groups. Children loved him. Young people respected him and responded to his interest in them and his involvement with them. Adults were coming to faith in Christ, and rarely a week passed without new converts in this congregation. I remember a lady speaking to me. I used to live across the road from the church here, and she lived beside us. And she said, "You know, you wouldn't belong over there until you got saved, because that wee man wants everybody saved." And that was the feeling, because that was what was happening. I was converted on the 12th of February 1948. My birthday was on Sunday past. God began to speak to me clearly, but God spoke through Mr. Craig. I have so much to thank God for in his memory. When he was reaching other people, There was one Sunday morning, a soldier home on leave came to the service. And after church was finished, he went round to see Dr. Craig. And he was pointed to the Lord. And so Craig said to him, "If you don't mind me asking, what was it in the sermon that spoke to you?" "Well," said the man, "it wasn't actually your sermon, it was your children's address got straight through." And there was a man who, even through a simple ministry, was coming to faith in the Lord. Part of the secret of his ministry was his place of prayer. Whenever he was about to enter the pulpit in this church, a small group of people entered the minister's room to support him in prayer. And that was the pattern down through the years, and that was what blessed him so much. He was one who was there for people. He was one who was there and whose life touched others. His midweeks were packed church hall meetings. You had to go early to get a seat. And his ministry as a teacher then was without any comparison. It was great. If you think of him as a preacher and teacher, think of him also as a pastor. Because as a pastor, he was so dedicated to the Lord's work that the session had little success in getting him to slow down. W.M. Craig was a 24/7 man as far as his congregation was concerned. Oh, he went here, there and yonder taking services elsewhere. But he never neglected his own people, his own flock. For him, kingdom time was important. And if you needed him, he was available. Ably supported by his wife, Maud, who also had Olive, their daughter, and Brian, their son, who was born in September 53, to care for. But for him, as I say, kingdom time was important. And with a congregation steadily growing to almost 1,000 families, session's concern was great for him. It was topped one Sunday morning when Dr. Sam Carson sat over here in the transept watching Mr. Craig in the pulpit. And when the service was over, he went up to Mr. Craig and he said, "I'm ordering you to take at least 1 week's rest. Otherwise, I will no longer be your doctor." Mr. Craig stood for a moment and looked at him, and then they settled for 5 days. And that was it. He had this feeling that he had to be there for his people whenever. His supreme interest was the salvation of precious souls and the upbuilding of God's people in personal holiness. He was a preacher and a pastor, but he was also a person. One who had a great understanding of and love for his people. He was a down-to-earth person who could relate to all age groups. And under his ministry, a number of young people went into the Presbyterian ministry and others into short-time and full-time mission work. He had a number of assistants whose lives he impressed very much and whose work for the kingdom he helped. He had two lay assistants, Mr. Sam McRae and Mr. Bert Finlay. And there was a cordial rapport with Armagh Road congregation and the churches in the town. He was just exceptional. As a churchman, he was twice elected as moderator of synod in 1956 and in 1969. And then in 1979, he was called as moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. The late very Reverend Dr. John Gervin and I were his chaplains, and we enjoyed his leadership and his friendship time and again through that year. He went to Canada as his overseas visit, and he had a most successful impact on the churches out there. His energy seemed endless. And even after retirement, he continued to help others in any way he could, such as helping in Mourne congregation in Kilkeel and settling into the congregation in Moira. W.M. Craig never thought of himself as special. but he was very special to a vast number of people. The sadness that came in January 1989 with Olive's death was added to when his beloved wife Maud passed away in April 1998. Things went on. He continued to minister, but in recent years, his health has not been great. But the care given by his family and by latterly the Scrabble House residential home in Newton Ards led to a certain amount of recovery, but the journey's end was in sight, and he knew it. With his passing, many share with his family in their loss of his company. He'll be greatly missed, but it's comforting to know that at his 99th year, surrounded by his family, he passed very peacefully into the presence of his master, whom he loved so much and served so faithfully. Like Enoch, it could be said of him, he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And with so many people today, in so many places, not just in this country, but throughout the world, we thank God for every remembrance of him.